Our theme tonight is the sins of the prodigal's brother. The sins of the prodigal's brother. Remember at our annual general meeting, we looked at this young man who left home, known to us as the prodigal son. At that meeting, we saw the hurt he caused his father when he said those words, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." We saw also that the far country was beckoning this young man. The far country, of course, is the world to which this young man craved for. A good time must be had, no matter the cost. In the pig pen, he took an inventory of what he had, and he realised it added up to a great loss. It added up to a great loss. And upon realising his great loss, he decided to return home, desiring to make as one of his father's servants. But little did this young man know, but his father was watching for him. And seeing him afar off, he recognised him and ran to meet him. And there he embraced the son and placed upon him the kiss of reconciliation. The prodigal was home, and what a welcome. Verses 22 and 23. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." What a welcome. This young man who, when in the pig pen, had desired to be made as one of his father's servants. And look at him now. What a difference. This young man who came home with nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not even shoes on his feet. And now his father is showering him with gifts. The best robe, a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and a banquet fit for a king. Why was this? Verse 24. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. He had come to himself. Verse 17. He had realised his condition. While he had money and friends, he didn't care about his salvation or about his family. But when God took them all away, his money away, his friends away, from the pig pen, he considered his life. And he took that inventory of his life. It added up to a great loss. What have I got? He considered. No money, no friends, no family, no future, no God. It all added up to a great loss. But now he's home. He has made his peace with God, and his earthly father has forgiven him also. He was dead in trespassing and sin, but now is alive again. He was lost and is found, and we are told they began to be merry. In the house, this was a united, happy family. They've eaten, and they've drank. Music fills the house with happiness, and the dancing begins. But there is one missing from this family. The elder brother, we are told, verse 25, returns home from a hard day's work in the field. And as he draws near to the house, he hears the music and the dancing, and his curiosity is aroused. So he sees a servant, and he asks him, what's happening? What's the music and the dancing? What's this all about? What's going on, we would say? What's the happy occasion? Verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. Upon hearing this news, his brother was home, and his beloved father had given him a hero's welcome. We are told he immediately became angry. We would say today he has thrown the toys out of the pram. Such was his anger. He didn't want to see his brother or his father, and he refuses to go into the house. He refuses to enter into the joy and therefore misses out on a great blessing. But what was the problem? What caused the elder brother to miss the joy of this occasion? Well, let's look at just three things that kept the elder brother from missing out on the joy of his returning brother. And the first thing is the sin of a negative, critical, grumbling spirit. The sins of a negative, critical, and grumbling spirit. This is a sin this elder brother had. And guess what? You and I have this sin too. We're negative when we should be positive, critical when we should be encouraging, grumbling when we should be thankful. I think that you will feel the truth of these words sink into your heart. Negative when we should be positive, critical when we should be encouraging, grumbling when we should be thankful. How different you and I are from the early saints of God. You remember that time when the Apostle Paul and Silas were thrown into jail? How could they be positive about the future? How could they advance the kingdom of God from behind bars? Surely for Paul and Silas it was time for them to be negative. Surely it was time for them to be critical of the regime that had put them in the dungeon. Surely it was time for them to grumble. But yet, what do we read of them in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25? Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. You'll recognize these words. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And look who heard them. The prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. That's how the gospel advanced from behind the dungeon bars. They sang the praises of God. They weren't negative. They were positive. They weren't critical. They didn't grumble. What did they do? They gloried in their infirmities. They sang God's praises with the pain of the lashes fresh upon their backs. I wonder what you and I would have done in that situation. Well, we would probably have rolled ourselves up into a little ball in the corner of the dungeon and said, "Why me, Lord?" Is that not a picture of us? Why me, Lord? You know, never have Christians had so much and appreciated it so little. This older brother had much, but appreciated it so little. He's grumbling about his little brother. And is it not true that we grumble about our families also? Some Christians grumble about their jobs. They seem to never find satisfaction in their job and they're continuously grumbling about it. We grumble about the weather. Too warm, too cold, too wet, too snowy. Some are specialists at finding fault. Some grumble about their churches, their pastors. We're all guilty of grumbling. But in our revived hearts, praise God for our revived hearts, we must find enough in Jesus Christ to keep praising him, just like Paul and Silas did. What an example they set to us. Just some of the sins of a negative, critical, grumbling spirit. The second thing we want to see tonight is the sin of an offended spirit. The sin of an offended spirit. Here's another sin this elder brother was harboring in his heart. He had an offended spirit. Verse 30. Here's his problem. But as soon as this thy son was come. But as soon as this thy son was come. Here the elder brother turns his attention to his compassionate father. And just like his younger son, the prodigal son, when he left home, you'll remember he caused his father a great hurt. Well, now the elder brother is causing the father hurt as well. But as soon as this thy son was come, these are the words that offended the elder brother. And he blames his father. You have offended me, Father. Do you not realize what you have done? Your son, your younger son, has devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Today we might say, Father, you've lost the plot. You've lost the plot. What are you thinking about? The sin of this offended spirit within this elder brother was blocking out the elder brother's spiritual side. It was blocking out his spiritual side. He couldn't see the good that was happening around him. He was blind to it. His younger brother had just got saved. He had just returned from the far country. He had made his peace with his father, and the elder brother was completely blind to it all. Let's look at four simple things. What this offended spirit did to the elder brother. First thing, we've looked at it a little already. It made him grumble. when it was time to glory, he got angry. And his anger kept him from going into the house to the celebration feast. And therefore, he had no glory. He lost out. And that's what grumbling does. If you continue to grumble and grumble and grumble every day, you're going to lose out. You'll lose out on the glory of your salvation. Second thing is, it made him exaggerate. It made him exaggerate his own righteousness. Verse 29. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. There's his exaggeration. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He's saying, Father, I'm whiter than white compared to my young brother. Whenever we're offended, we will exaggerate. And whenever you exaggerate, you get things wrong. And that's what's happening here with the elder brother. He's exaggerating the problem. He can't see the problem because of his grumbling spirit, his exaggeration, and he's blind. The third thing, it made him feel sorry for himself. Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come. Remember, he's talking to this father here. And he's saying, What about me, Father? What about me, Father? What about poor little me? The fatted calf for little brother, and you never give me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He's feeling sorry for himself. A calf for your young son, not even a kid for me. This is another sin of an offended spirit. Is it ringing any bells? The fourth thing, it made him forget. The sin of an offended spirit made him forget. It made him forget all that he had as a son of his father. Verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He forgot he had everything. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Before the young man left home, he got his portion of the farm. But his father gave the older brother the farm at that time. And so the younger was paid off. And the older now had the lot. He had everything. Absolutely everything. This is what an offended spirit does. It makes us forget. It makes us grumble. It makes us exaggerate. It makes us feel sorry for ourselves. It makes us forget what God has given to us. And it also makes us forget what God has done for us. Is it any wonder why the elder brother has a problem with his younger brother? Because sin now lies at his door. The third thing we want to see this evening is the sin of a compassionless heart. The sin of a compassionless heart. Verse 30. These words, I hope, will ring loudly in your ears tonight and tomorrow and for the coming days. But as soon as this thy son was come. Why was this prodigal's brother unmoved by his return? Why was he unmoved by his brother's return? What was really going on inside the mind and the heart of the elder brother? Why could he not just go into the house and be gracious to his brother? Well, if he was unmoved at his coming home, then he had been unmoved at his being away. If he was unmoved at his coming home, then he had been unmoved at his being away. He didn't care. He didn't care. It's clear that things between these two brothers were not good before the younger left home. And it seems the elder brother was glad to see the back of him. Indeed, he may have been the one who helped persuade his father to pay off his younger brother. Give him the money, father. Let him go. Let's get rid of him. He was unmoved by his return because he was unmoved at his being away. The elder brother was guilty of a compassionless heart. I hope you don't have a compassionless heart. Now here was a young man, this elder brother. He was a young man who worked very, very hard. He worked very, very hard in the farm. And it is very, very true that compared to his younger brother, he did not give his father anywhere near the same grief of heart. He didn't give his father the same grief of heart as his younger brother did. But he was not like his father. He was not like his father. He didn't care about his missing brother. Indeed, rather, he relished in hearing the scandal about his younger brother, verse 30, which has devoured thy living with harlots. The elder brother had heard from the far country of the exploits of his younger brother. And instead of falling to his knees and praying for his young brother, rather he hardens his heart to the point he has no compassion for him. The sin of a compassionless heart. Isn't it a good job his father hadn't the same heart? What did his father do whenever he saw his son afar off? He ran, he embraced him, and what did he do? He placed on him the kiss of reconciliation. This is the kind of heart you and I should have. a compassionate heart. I'm sure we could all think of a name or someone who has offended us, maybe in a really bad way. But if that person came to you and apologized to you and said they were sorry, what would you do? Would you turn them away with a compassionless heart? Or would you reach out the right hand of fellowship? Would you hug them? Would you place a kiss of reconciliation upon them and be glad that your brother was then reconciled to you? You see, the spiritual idea here is, of course, that our great Father in heaven has had compassion on you and me. In Jesus Christ, he shows us how much he loves us. Isn't it wonderful to know that our Father in heaven has had great compassion upon us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I? There's no greater love. What stopped the elder brother going into the house and glorying in his young brother's return? Well, it was the sins of a negative, critical, grumbling spirit, the sin of an offended spirit, and the sin of a compassionless heart. Verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This is his father talking to the elder son. And we could say here that the father is straightening out the elder son. He's straightening them out. And I wonder, did he raise his voice? Or did he stay nice and calm? Well, I think he was a little bit maybe in between. But one for sure thing, he would have been firm. And he says to him, son, your brother was dead. Now, if that didn't get the elder brother's attention, what would? Your young brother was dead. Dead in sin. But now, son, he's reborn. He was lost to hell. But now he's ready for heaven. Son, that's why we are rejoicing. That's why we've killed the fatted calf. That's why we put a coat on his back. That's why I put a ring on his finger. And son, that's why I put shoes on his feet. Your brother was dead and is alive. Did the elder brother get it? Did the penny finally drop? Well, surely it did. Surely it did. Give thanks if your dad is still alive today. Give thanks for him. Give thanks for the times he straightened you out. Give thanks for the times he took you aside and he gave you a bit of a smack and it was all for your good. And if your dad was a born-again Christian, I wonder what joy he had in his heart the day you told him that you had become a born-again Christian. A father's joy at his greatest. There is no joy that a father would love to hear than all of his sons, his daughters, be in Christ. But sometimes we need set down. Sometimes we need a little bit of straightening out. And our Father in heaven will do that. And he'll do it in some of the most unusual ways. Sometimes it's not nice ways. And that's because we are stubborn sinners who won't bow the knee. The younger brother had to lose everything before he came to his senses. He needed his money taken away. He needed his friends taken away. He needed his health taken away. And then he began to consider. Then he began to take an inventory of his life from a pig pen. And there he came to the conclusion it was a great loss. And anyone outside of Christ, that's what their life adds up to, a great loss. But in Christ, we should make merry. We should be like this father and his family. We should kill the fatted calf and make merry. May God add his blessing to this, his word, this night.